On Monday, a federal court threw out the case against an American lawyer once linked to the Madrid train bombings. The FBI apologized for a fingerprint identification error that led to the arrest of Brandon Mayfield. Mayfield was detained 2 weeks ago in Portland, Oregon, as a material witness in the attack that killed 192 people in March. His exoneration renews the controversy over how federal prosecutors use the federal material witness law. Joining us now is Jeffrey Rosen. He's an associate professor at George Washington University Law School, the author most recently of The Naked Crowd, Reclaiming Freedom and Security in an Anxious Age. He's with us by phone from his home here in Washington. Always good to speak with you, Jeffrey.
Always good to be here.
Refresh us on the material witness statute. When was it enacted? What does it allow the government to do?
The current version was enacted in 1984, and it allows the government to detain people without probable cause to believe that they've committed crimes, merely by saying that it's probable that they have evidence that's material to a criminal proceeding or ongoing investigation. So, in other words, it allows people to lock them up, at least for a while. As you said, this was 2 weeks. It's been used to keep people for up to 20 days and to perhaps interrogate them and charge them with unrelated crimes. The controversy about it is whether it was actually meant to apply to grand jury proceedings. In other words, whether it was meant to be an investigative device or whether it was only meant to allow the government to compel someone's witness at trial. That power existed for a long time, but in 1984, the government got the power to arrest people merely by asserting that the information was relevant, and this power has been used at least 50 times since 9/11 with great controversy.
50 times since 9/11? Obviously, that from the tone of your voice, it sounds like it's been an accelerated use.
It has. The Attorney General, shortly after 9/11, said that it would be used increasingly to ensure that dangerous people were kept off the streets, and the exact numbers are hard to pin down, but 50 is a number that the New York Times used recently.
And in terms of the length of time someone can be held, you say it's what, 20 days?
Well, the statute says release may be delayed for a reasonable period of time until the deposition can be taken pursuant to the rules of criminal procedure. So it's in a controversial case, it was used for up to 20 days. This was 2 weeks, but it's not precisely specified by the statute.
So in a way, it's a loophole in habeas corpus, but not a long-range loophole.
Maybe not habeas corpus, but it's part of this ongoing controversy, which is being played out in a lot of areas, about the uses of preventative detention, under what circumstances can the government keep people without charging them for a particular crime. And the objection here is that this is really being used as an investigatory mechanism. In some cases, people have been detained as material witnesses, taken before the grand jury, and then charged with perjury for what they've told the grand jury. And people say that this is a perjury trap and an illegitimate use.
Looking at the case of Brandon Mayfield, is this how it's supposed to work?
Oh, forgive me?
Looking at the Mayfield case in Oregon, is the way the government handled this case, is that how it's supposed to work?
Well, it depends how you view the law. The government says that they had matched his fingerprint and he posed a risk of flight, and therefore it was appropriate to detain him until they could be sure that he wasn't actually dangerous. Critics would say that, no, the point of this law is to bring him in an actual criminal proceeding, and since the government didn't have evidence to charge him with a crime, it was illegitimate.
Mayfield is thinking about suing. Does he have a case?
That would depend on statutory laws that I'm not up enough on to really make a judgment about, but it's certainly the case that he's a sympathetic victim, the most sympathetic victim of the material witness statute so far, so this will certainly renew the controversy over the law.
Jeffrey Rosen, thanks as always.
Thank you for having me.
Jeffrey Rosen, legal affairs editor at the Legal Times and author most recently of The Naked Crowd, Reclaiming Freedom and Security in an Anxious Age. He joined us by phone from his home here in Washington, D.C. This is NPR's Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.